Just thinking, talking about, as I said, singing those maybe 50 years ago as a teenager, I'm sending you out to be my witness throughout the world, the whole of the world. Little did I think that I would be in the ministry, let alone across the world in England today. God indeed is great, and God is wonderful in the way in which he works in our lives. I've entitled our thoughts this morning, Prayerful Presenters of the Good News. Prayerful Presenters of the Good News. In the bulletin sheet, there's that bit at the beginning that says, before the service, talk to God during the service. Let God talk to you. After the service, talk to others, speak to others. And in a way, we're doing at least two of those, speaking to God about others and then speaking to others about God. As I say, it's in the context of Thy Kingdom Come where we've been encouraged to pray, especially to pray for 5 people who do not yet know Jesus Christ. And then together with that, I'll also be talking, sharing some thoughts about sharing our faith with others. So, speaking to God about others and then speaking to others about God. When we speak to God about others, when we pray to God for those who have not yet known Jesus, I think the first thing that we need to remember is that God is far more concerned that they should meet Jesus than we could ever be. Remember how God is presented in the parable of the prodigal son, or really the prodigal of the, or at least the parable of the waiting father. He is that waiting father who looks and who longs for his son, his child, to return home. And every person we pray for who does not yet know Jesus is one for whom God longs as that father longs. Somebody created by God, created to know him and to love him, to know the love that God has for each one. And Paul describes something of that love in that passage that we heard, a love that is so broad and long and high and deep that it can never really be fully known. And that is the love that God has, not just for the church, not just for the followers of Jesus, but for each and every person, including those who do not yet know him, who have not yet come home. In John chapter 17, we read about Jesus' prayer. He prays first for his disciples, and then in the passage that we heard, he prays for those who will believe because of the message of the disciples. And so that really he's praying for everybody since that time down to the present. Those who will believe in the message that has come down from those first disciples. And Jesus prayed and continues to pray indeed as our high priest that people will come to faith. In 2 Peter we read, the Lord does not want anyone to perish, but for all to change their hearts and their lives. And so, friends, it's not as though we have to try and twist God's arm in prayer to change the mind or change his mind about the people whom we are praying for. It's rather a case of praying that these people will change their mind about him and allow their hearts to be changed by him. And of course, linked to that is the fact that it, in the end, is only the Holy Spirit who can work a change in people's hearts. We cannot convert anybody. We cannot save anybody. But we can pray that people will allow the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts. to work in their lives and to change them. And so we really are just the intermediaries, as it were, a bit like Andrew in the New Testament. Andrew is not a prominent disciple, but whenever we read about him, he's introducing somebody to Jesus. Whether it's the little boy with these five loaves, he introduces him to Jesus, and Jesus does a miracle. It's Andrew who introduces some Greeks to Jesus. I think that was in the reading this morning for those who are following the Bible through the year. And so a bit like Andrew, we are those intermediaries. We simply are seeking to link people to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, that he may work in their hearts and their lives. What else can we say about prayer for such people? I think the one is that we need to pray with expectation, which I guess is another way of saying that we need to pray with faith. To pray with expectation. And as we pray, maybe in our mind to see the person not as they are, but maybe to see them as they will be when their lives have been touched by Jesus. Maybe to see them with a new smile in their face, a new demeanor in their lives. Maybe to picture them in prayer or in worship or in reading the scriptures. The Bible says faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so in expectant faith, we can picture things that are not yet, but which can be with God's help. The Quakers have an expression, holding a person in the light, which is a lovely thought, isn't it? Holding a person in the light. Picturing that person, holding them in the light and the love of God, and trusting that they will come to know something of that love and of that light of God in their own lives. Something else we can pray is that an opportunity will open up for these people to be able to speak to somebody about Jesus, to have a conversation with someone about faith in Jesus. If it's someone close to us whom we are praying for, maybe we are not the best person to do that. Maybe we've had discussions before, they know where we stand, and to speak to them again might not achieve much, but maybe hearing it from somebody else might enable it to come to them with a new meaning and a new impact. And so to summarize our first half so far, we need to pray with a deep conviction and knowledge of God's love for this person for whom we are praying, God's desire that this person would come to follow Jesus, to pray with that expectation, to pray with faith, and to pray that an opportunity will open up for that person to talk about Jesus. And that leads us onto the second half of talking to others about God. And in a similar way that when we pray for others, we are doing that against the background of love and of God's love for them. So in a similar way, when we are going to speak to others about God, we need to do that against the background of God's love and our love for them. Our motive, first and foremost, should be about love for this person. As someone has said, people won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People are more interested in experiencing something of God and God's love and the compassion of Jesus rather than just theological truths that we may spout out to them. And so we must never see the other person merely as a target for conversation, a person to beat over the head with the Bible, to put it most crudely, another sculpt that we can add to our list of converts. Our whole motive must be our love and God's love through us for this person. And our desire that this person would come to know that love and to experience Jesus and the fullness of life that he can bring, just as we have experienced something of that. And so linked to that also, never to speak to somebody just out of a sense of obligation, because I'm told I must witness, and so I better do that, and our motive just being out of that sense of duty, but really only out of a sense of love for them and a desire for them to come to know the one who loves them to the point of dying for them on the cross. And then a second thing, I guess, which goes without saying, is that we need to speak out of our own experience. Anybody is interested in hearing about another person's experience of Jesus, probably more interested than hearing about theological truths about him. But of course, we cannot pass on to other people something that we have not experienced ourselves. And so I think it's worthwhile to think to ourselves, what is it about my relationship with Jesus that I found most meaningful? Is it forgiveness of sin? Is it about the fact of being deeply and unconditionally loved by God? Is it about the purpose that I have found for my life through knowing Jesus? Is it about knowing that I'm never alone? That whatever may happen in my life, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. That I'm never alone. Or maybe it's about the sure hope that we have of life beyond death. And it could, I'm sure, be a number of those. But I think it's useful to think about, what is it that you and I have found most meaningful about our relationship with Jesus? And it's out of that conviction that we will be able to share with others. But let's not think it's just about talking. It might be even more about listening than about talking and preaching. Ask the other person questions. Ask them about possible barriers. Are there barriers in their lives from a faith in Jesus? Maybe there are intellectual barriers. Maybe there are questions that they have, which you may or may not be able to answer, but at least allow them to verbalize those. And if you aren't able to ask to answer their question, maybe you can find somebody who can. Or maybe there are emotional questions and issues. Maybe they've been deeply hurt by the church, which sadly is often the case. Maybe they've been deeply disappointed or disillusioned by some Christian. Ask them too about their understanding of God. How do they understand this God whom we're asking them to believe in? Listen to what their understanding of God is. Maybe it's a distorted image of God, which many people grow up with, a wrong idea of God, as a policeman who's waiting to beat us with a stick wherever we may go wrong. And you're able to say, well, I don't believe in that kind of God either. And then be able to tell them about the God that we do believe in, the God that we see best of all in Jesus Christ. The God who is that Father who is waiting for his lost sons and daughters to return home. And together with that, ask them about their understanding of Christianity. What does it mean? It's not just about the church. We aren't just asking people to come into the church. We're asking them to follow Jesus. What is their understanding of Christianity? Is it just about a long list of do's and don'ts? Some people, I think, see Christianity as invention by God to spoil people's fun. Maybe we need to correct that understanding. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life in all its fullness, to enlarge our life, not to restrict it and limit it. Yes, to help us to turn away from those things which would damage our lives or damage the lives of other people. But really, it's about experiencing life in all its fullness. And so to help other people to see that it's really about a relationship with Jesus, and together with that, with his family, because although the church isn't our primary message, it is linked to that. You can't come to Jesus and be part of his family without linking yourself into that family. And so it's about knowing Jesus as a personal and intimate friend. Jesus didn't say, here are a list of do's and don'ts that I want you to follow. He said, follow me. Come with me on this adventure. Come with me to discover life in all its fullness. I am the way and the truth and the life. I think in our world today, which has become in many ways post-Christian, very secular in many ways, talking to people about following Jesus can come across as something very, very strange, very outdated. To some people, following Jesus is something weird, something strange. Why would you want me to do something like that? But if you think about it, it's really the most natural thing in the world. It's about joining our life to the one who created us. It's about joining our life to the one who has loved us more than anybody else ever could. And discovering the wonderful plan and the purpose that he has for our lives. To conclude, a story I remember told about the late Dallas Willard, well-known Christian speaker and author. His main job was a lecturer in philosophy at a secular university. But because of his faith, he quite often brought in the name and the message of Jesus. And one day, one of his students asked him why he made such a lot of Jesus, especially in the context of a secular university. And he replied with a question and said, do you have someone else in mind? Socrates, Plato, Buddha, Dr. Phil, Oprah. Do you have somebody else in mind? He is the way and the truth and the life. And he's worth telling other people about. Amen.